This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome to the Gun Owners News Hour with your host and executive director of Gun Owners of America, Larry Pratt.
Welcome to this edition of the Gun Owners News Hour. Today I want to talk about something that's still a little bit in the news, I think. President Donald Trump has decided he wants to move the embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to the city of Jerusalem, which is actually the nation's capital city. And we don't usually have our embassies in some other town besides the capital city. That's the way countries seem to operate. Somehow that became a big to-do, and I'm going to enjoy talking about it and some other things, dealing with Israel, with Andrew Harrod, who is somebody that's been on this microphone before. He's a freelance writer, and he's got a PhD from the Fletcher School of Law, also a JD from George Washington University here in the District of the District of Columbia. He's also connected with the Lawfare Project, which deals with the misuse of human rights law against the West, something the Muslims have been pretty good at, although not exclusively they. So, Andrew, thank you for being with us today.
Oh, it's always excellent to be here. Thank you very much for having me.
I would like to lead off with our government moving, or at least announcing plans to move the embassy from, I guess it's now in Tel Aviv, to Jerusalem.
All right, then. Yes. Well, and once again, I'm speaking from the Center for Security Policy here. They're giving me access to their office space to use a landline. So I want to thank them for their support of this call, and an excellent organization people should be involved with.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that is very cooperative of them to do that and facilitate this recording being made. And we appreciate the work that they do at the Center for Security Policy, where I imagine they were doing some high fives when the embassy relocation plans were announced.
Indeed, I think the embassy relocation plan, the final recognition of Jerusalem as the appropriate, long-standing historic capital of Israel, is part of, I think, a strategy that has been enunciated by people at the Center for Security Policy, as well as, in particular, by Daniel Pipes at the Middle East Forum, where I often write for Campus Watch and the Legal Project there, called the Israel Victory Project, that seeks a future strategy in dealing with Israel and peace with its Arab neighbors, not in sort of what's often been pursued in the past of a kind of seen as a sort of even-handed negotiation, but precisely the opposite, more of an Israeli victory to break this sort of will of rejectionism on the part of the Palestinians that goes back really since the very origins of Zionism, that they've never accepted the existence of a Jewish state of Israel in the region, and that resistance has to be broken through measures of increased pressure, such as, for example, finally recognizing Israel, Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and taking away these sort of negotiating chits from the Palestinians.
You know, and I think we probably ought to mention that it's not just Israel, the little Satan. It's also the United States in particular, among the Western countries, the big Satan. Islam is at war with the West. Islam is at war with anybody that's not Islam. And so the fact that Israel's smack dab in the middle of Muslim countries obviously makes it very likely that there's going to be some trouble because of that, because of Islam. Nothing makes Islam do bad things. The Quran makes people who are Muslim do the wrong things.
Well, the various jihadist doctrines within Islam affect Israel in particular, that it's a country that's on this territory, as many in Israel know, that it was once conquered by Islam, and people like Osama bin Laden, Al-Qaeda, they'll make reference to this idea that even say Spain is a land lost to Islam.
Yeah.
There's this doctrine in Islam that once a territory comes under the rule of Islam, it should remain such, and if it's lost, it should be retaken. So there's within jihadist doctrine, their idea is then that Israel is an affront to Islam, it's an affront to God, then that in particular, as a Mordechai Kadar from the Beza Center at Bar Ilan University in Tel Aviv noted at this conference I attended in Jerusalem, that you have this annulled religion of Judaism. Islam presents itself as the final faith, the final revelation from this final prophet Muhammad, that has then overcome the corrupted revelations of Judaism and Christianity. And yet here you have, in the case of Israel, you have this Jewish people, this annulled faith, this corrupted faith that has somehow been able to establish itself on a land that was once ruled under Muslim control. So Israel then is under direct threat from those doctrines, and then such doctrines of jihadist expansion, or what many people like Osama bin Laden have justified as defensive jihad. I mean, just simply the fact that, say, there's Western influence in Muslim lands, like, say, in Iraq or Afghanistan or Israel itself, then brings the West in general into the line of fire. But Israel is often noted as being sort of this sort of frontline state, the easternmost outpost of the West in the Middle East. So, yeah, Israel is definitely on the front line of a wider conflict.
And I think it would be helpful to make clear, abundantly clear, that if by some happenstance Israel were to disappear from the map tomorrow, gonzo 100%, that doesn't mean Islam is going to be peaceful. That just means they move on to their next set of targets.
Well, indeed, more and more people are understanding and rejecting this idea of what's been called linkage in the past, that somehow conflicts in the Middle East are, you know, if only we could solve this conflict with Israel, then that would pacify the Middle East region, that would calm down tempers. But in reality, Israel itself has very little to do with these other conflicts in the Middle East, say between Shiites and Sunnis, or a rising Iran with its nuclear program. But indeed, if Israel were somehow to disappear or go away, that would simply free up attention for many of these jihadist groups and regimes like Iran or Hezbollah or Hamas to simply turn their energies, their attention elsewhere to something else.
If Israel were not there, the country that would probably be most immediately threatened by Iran would be Saudi Arabia, getting a threat from a Shiite Muslim country to their Sunni Islam.
Well, indeed, Israel is precisely as this outpost of the West. Israel is a important strategic factor in the region of supporting Western interests. You've seen that in the past on many occasions in 1981 of striking the nuclear reactor under Saddam Hussein in Iraq, and then more recently in 2007 of striking the Syrian nuclear reactor program. And taking out those threats, and even before that in the past, of countering Nasser and his nationalist Arab vision and being able to control his various chemical weapons of mass destruction programs and missile programs. So Israel can act as a key ally in the region. Now dealing with Iran, it's precisely these Arab states like Saudi Arabia that are increasingly turning to Israel for backup and having a kind of somewhat under the table covert alliance. Sometimes people jokingly refer to it as the Zionist or Zio Wahhabi alliance, which may not necessarily be all that well grounded. But for that reason, many of these Arab states have been rather muted in their reactions to Donald Trump's statement of moving the embassy to Jerusalem and recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, because, you know, they're really not, strategically, it just doesn't make that much sense for them to fight Israel. It's really something to sort of downplay and seek a resolution to any conflict they would have.
That is certainly, I guess you're describing a situation that's not going to be resolved anytime soon. And it looks to me as if Israel is solidly ensconced. The people that are probably most uneasy about their continuing political control would be the Saudis, who feel apparently and probably rightly very threatened by Iran, which is rapidly becoming a nuclear and missile-capable country. And their first target from Iran is going to be probably Saudi Arabia long before they get to the United States.
Well, that's certainly the most direct regional threat, and we're, of course, intimately linked with that. But all of the Gulf states are first on the target list, yes, there in the region.
Let's take a break. The music's coming up. We'll be back in just a minute. Andrew Harrod.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
If you or someone you care about loves outdoor adventure, then check out slingbow.com for some unique holiday gift ideas. That's slingbow.com, where we have some innovative new products for the archer, hunter, or bow fishing enthusiast in your family. Now through January, use the promo code HOLIDAY to get free shipping in the U.S. or Canada. And from all of us at Slingbow Industries, have a safe, joyous, and peaceful holiday season. Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey Guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Hello, Mr. Anderson. The NSA has noticed how much time you spend on conservative news sites. We have no choice but to consider you a domestic terrorist.
Tired of your internet activity being monitored by Big Brother?
Get VirtualShield.com,
the world's easiest-to-use virtual private network. Browse the web anonymously, leaving pesky advertisers and spies in the dust.
Get started today at VirtualShield.com.
Take advantage of our free 30-day trial.
VirtualShield.com. You have the right to remain private.
Excuse me, sir. Could you take a picture of my family and me with my cell phone?
Sure, Mrs. Anderson. Smile for the camera.
Too bad hackers never get proper permission to access your cell phone or computer camera. Anyone is or could be susceptible to illegal spying. That's why VirtualShield.com has developed Identisafe, a new security software that blocks camera and microphone access from unwanted spies. Get started today at VirtualShield.com. Take advantage of our free 30-day trial. VirtualShield.com. You have the right to remain private.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the packed bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Gun Owners News Hour, exploring a wide range of Second Amendment issues. Here's your host, Larry Pratt.
My guest today is Andrew Harrod at the Center for Security Policy. We've been talking about some of the, actually the news coming out of the Middle East, the situation with Israel, the move of the capital to Jerusalem from Tel Aviv, and that got the normal suspects quite excited. But I think they realize that there's probably not a whole lot they're going to be able to do as far as leveraging the United States against Israel, or for that matter, Israel against the United States. When Donald Trump was still rather new in the presidency, at the time, that my first response to the annihilation of the Russian missile military base in Syria was, what was that all about? Well, I'm pretty sure now I do know what it was all about. He was sending a message to all of the bad boys in the Middle East that this could happen to you too. I'm crazy. See what I just did? I'll do it to you. Take care. And so far, things have been sort of held to a dull roar, because that's the one thing that the Muslim seems to respect of people that are not of his same faith. He disrespects everybody else who's not a Muslim, and even there, many Muslims are not very well regarded by other Muslims. But by golly, the guy with a big stick seems to get some respect after all still.
Well, I guess in any region of the world, I mean, dealing with any sort of competitor, I mean, Russia, China, or so forth, you, of course, the maxim of Teddy Roosevelt or others of speak softly and carry a big stick. But certainly, in dealing with any regimes that would have any sort of jihadist basis, they'll ultimately only respect strength. So dealing with Israel and recognizing Jerusalem, moving the capital there is one sort of certainly symbolic measure of strength, that we're not going to be pushed around, we're not going to be beholden to threats of violence, you know, we're going to act decisively. So that's, for the wider region, that's a very important move.
You know, I was in Israel many years ago. Actually, it was right before the Intifada began, which I believe would have been in 1999. The country was interesting because there were people from all walks of life that were openly carrying sidearms. And I thought, that's an interesting development, because my impression is that Israel is populated with people, European Jews primarily, who came from a European background, obviously. And one of the things that was in their mother's milk as a European was gun control. And I guess when they first got to Israel, some of them were still laboring under the happy notion that guns were bad and that they just didn't have any, they'd be fine. But they certainly learned quickly enough from their neighbors that, no, gun-free zones are murderer-friendly zones. And by the time I got to Israel, there were lots of average-looking people carrying sidearms. And I think at that time, and certainly before, when this policy was established, and I'm sure right up until the present time, there's not really a great deal of crime occurring in Israel.
Well, that's one thing they noted at this recent conference I attended in Jerusalem in October, sponsored by the Israeli government, is that they compared, for example, violent death statistics from Jerusalem in the last year to, say, cities like Jacksonville, Florida, or Indianapolis, similar sized cities, and they noted that there were only some 18 violent deaths in Jerusalem last year from all causes. I mean, that could be both political violence, terrorism, as well as just your regular murders. Whereas in Jacksonville, Florida, I believe the statistic they cited was much higher. I think 110 deaths or something for the city of Jacksonville, or even higher in Indianapolis. So there's, you know, they were noting that people often think of conflict in the Middle East and Israel, but actually statistics, it's much safer to be in Jerusalem than it is, say, in various American cities. I mean, Israel itself, people know, of course, everyone serves in the military, so it's, in that sense, it's always had access to weapons because you have universal conscription. It's kind of really this vision of a people in arms. I mean, you can think, say, Switzerland with its militia system, but everyone has during their military service some weapon, or if they're as a reservist, they might have it for a while as well, and certainly has familiarity with weapons. And then also,
and Andrew, it was very evident when I was there that those firearms, those battle rifles, typically that the young recruits would be carrying, men and women alike, they'd be walking down the street more often than not with one of these rifles slung over their back. They'd get on a bus with it, handling it properly. They'd get off the bus, and sometimes they were with little kids from a school, and sometimes they were just between places wherever they were going. But, yeah, Israel doesn't put the guns in a locker until they're, quote, needed. In Israel, I think they understand that their guns are needed all the time, and the best gun policy seems to result in almost no actual hostile use of firearms.
Oh, definitely. Guns are a common sight in Israel. Just reservists going to and fro, riding the bus, riding the light rail. You just see them constantly walking down the street with, indeed, their military weapons, fully automatic weapons. You also have you know, a fair number of police at metro station, light rail stations, bus stations, in the old city, a fairly sizable police presence, in Jerusalem. Also individual citizens, say at supermarkets or little grocery stores in your neighborhood, where I live, for example, in the week, the grocery store owner would just stand outside and watch a store and had a pistol on his belt. So people do indeed apply for permits and have guns, which, as some writers have noted, for example, at the Tablet magazine, Leibowitz, Leah Leibowitz, a writer there, has noted, actually, despite some, on paper, some rather strict-sounding gun laws, it's actually relatively easy to do to get a gun. And for one thing that struck me is visiting this historic site in Jerusalem of Ammunition Hill, you know, thinking of the kids, there they had this laser tag game set up, and they had some, like, sixth grade elementary school class there, seventh grade or so, and they, all these kids were getting to play some really realistic laser tag. I mean, they had these laser tag toy guns, you know, that looked like assault rifles and so forth. I mean, regular, very realistic looking, like it just came out of the Israeli army. So that the culture there, too, I guess, obviously, dealing with their children, they don't really have any qualms about exposing their children to, you know, their eventual military service and their life in Israeli society.
That there probably wouldn't be too many Sarah Brady types recoiling in horror that little kids are running around with what might look like an AR-15 type of rifle playing laser tag. That wouldn't go very far, I don't think, in Israel. And I was just quite struck by the omnipresence of military rifles throughout Israel and the extraordinary peacefulness of a land that's on a front line with hostile states all around. It seems to be something to the idea that a good defense is the best offense, or the best offense is a good defense, take your pick. I'm going to be back with Andrew Harrod of the Center for Security Policy and discuss some more what is going on in Israel.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Message and data rates may apply.
Warning. Texting while driving is illegal just about everywhere. So if you want to take advantage of a life-changing LASIK offer, pull over when you can, because a special opportunity is just one text away. The LASIK Vision Institute is offering absolutely free evaluations and dramatically low prices on high-quality LASIK. Text the keyword CLEAR55 to 350350 to get the benefit of FDA-approved LASIK technology that gives the majority of patients 20/20 vision for a fraction of what others charge. Text to schedule your free appointment to see if LASIK is right for you. When you text CLEAR55 to 350350, you'll also get an extra 20% discount off our already low-cost services. We've already performed over 1 million procedures. Today, it's your turn. Discover how you can get the quality LASIK experience you've always wanted for a fraction of what others charge. This great offer is just a text away. Text CLEAR55 to 350350. That's CLEAR55 to 350350.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Welcome back to the Gun Owners News Hour, exploring a wide range of Second Amendment issues. Here's your host, Larry Pratt.
Talking today with Andrew Harrod of the Center for Security Policy. He's just been to Israel and has had a chance to see with his own eyes some of the things that he and I both have an interest in, because the aspect of Israeli life that is particularly interesting to those of us here at Gun Owners of America is that you have a country armed to the teeth. It's the Switzerland of the Middle East, perhaps we could say, because by law and by policy, just about everybody has a gun. And also, both countries have a notably low violent crime rate. I hope it wasn't too wrenching for you to come back to the United States with a relatively high crime rate after having been in that
armed country. No, I guess I'm staying in the right neighborhood.
In that sense, there's no real right or wrong neighborhoods in Israel. The omnipresence of guns, I think, has been quite helpful in keeping violent crime down and terroristic crime down. One of my favorite accounts of Israel is from many years ago. Terrorist went to an open air market. I think I had visited the market, actually, not at the same time. And he didn't even get a chance to get his gun working when an alert Israeli housewife with her gun, handgun, saw what was about to happen, and she plugged him before he could even shoot anybody at all. It's really tough to be a terrorist in Israel.
Well, during the conference, we took various tours. One, we took down to the Gush Etzion region just south of Israel, which is was often referred to as a settlement area, but I mean areas across the so-called Green Line from the 1967 war, the old 1948 ceasefire line that was the starting point for the 67 war on the territory that Israel was able to get back from the original Palestine mandate. And he was talking about how in this community, you know, they have a terrorism response team in their community. They're the head of this tour company that helped organize the conference. And so, you know, you have then sort of like a more serious version of a neighborhood watch. But, you know, the community reacts to any sort of terrorism attack. And Nur Barkat, the mayor of Jerusalem, addressed us at a dinner we had in a hotel in Jerusalem. He talked about how with terrorism in Israel and Jerusalem, if something happens, you know, the citizenry really engages, really reacts, and so therefore it's not just something that the police has to deal with in terms of responding to violence, but really he talked about how, you know, I have an army of eyes and of citizens who are ready to react and help deal with the situation. So the entire community stands ready to respond to an act of violence.
That would be quite a culture shift if something like that were to be developed in a place like Chicago, because it would seem to me that most people have been told by the government, you're just a spectator. Don't you ever think about getting involved. And as a result, their involvement is mainly to be a victim.
Well, of course, one thing in Chicago, I guess you have to work on the gangs being good community members. But I mean,
well, they have no competition. They're not worried about any of the good guys shooting them back. So
right, indeed. Well, so yeah, I mean, certainly, basic is having, say, like a homeowner or a store owner, certainly being able to defend themselves is sort of a basic first step in allowing the community to sort of stand up to any wrongdoers and hold the line against any such criminals until the authorities arrive. Exactly.
You know, it's a very curious thing, and our media is somewhat complicit with the notion that somehow Israel's been the bad guy in the Middle East. They're the occupier. And you've already referred to the Palestine mandate that Israel has set up shop under. It's not as if they came in like Jesse James to take over some town that they'd never been to before. And it seems that the whole worldview, the policies that they have in Israel have been highly successful in having a peaceful and productive society. And meanwhile, you have a place like Chicago, which has crime through the roof, and it's also a very, on balance, unproductive society. People depending on other people for their daily bread, not thinking about working. You don't see a lot of that kind of not working mentality in Israel.
Well, they currently have a rather low unemployment rate in recent years among the OECD Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development countries, the sort of leading developed countries of the world. I mean, it's estimated that they have about a standard of living now equivalent to per capita to Italy. Although among some sectors in Israel, there is indeed considerable poverty among, say, for example, the ultra-Orthodox Jewish communities or among certain Arab communities that the society is working to alleviate. It certainly is a dramatic success story that you had a nation that in a territory that really doesn't offer much. I mean, it's semi-arid or desert territory, not much in the way of resources, indeed has to contend with sort of basic water shortages. Getting water is a big problem that Israel has had to solve. And into this region you have, as you indicated, well, Jews from Europe, but then also Jews from the Middle East countries, Arab countries, Iran, such that today Israel's Jewish population is actually about 50-50 both European Italian heritage, the Ashkenazi, as they're called, and also Middle East, Arabic or Iranian, the so-called Mizrahi, the Eastern or the Sephardic Jews. It's actually about 50-50 split in the Jewish population in Israel. And yet this population of refugees that, you know, has had to flee from such horrors as the Holocaust, the Third Reich, Nazi Germany, and then as well as being expelled after the creation of Israel by various Muslim-majority regimes that seized property, sort of really engaged in repressive measures against Jewish populations in Egypt and in places like Egypt or Iran or Libya, that they've, you know, basically come to Israel with nothing, and yet they've been able over time to build up this modern society, hailed as a startup nation, this land of many startup business venture firms. So it is a remarkable success story, and indeed precisely in an environment of conflict, being surrounded by a region that with these jihadist doctrines that have animated so many people over the years to try to destroy Israel.
One of the things that has impressed me is that Israel is one of the IT centers, I guess, in the world, and I saw a news clip which had a statement made by Prime Minister Netanyahu that the Waze program that you can have on your devices, kind of like a GPS program, that was developed in Tel Aviv, in Israel, in their I guess your tech center there, and the IT center. So it's a not only do you see the prosperity, but you see them at the cutting edge of some of the modern technology that we're all using.
Oh, indeed, yeah. It's a key technology center. I mean, it's you know, it's right up there with, say, Silicon Valley in the United States. It's a leading technological center. I mean, that has links with, for example, the defense industry and culture of Israel. I mean, Israel has had to invest a lot in high tech for its defense needs. Also, people have attributed much of the startup culture of Israel to the initiative taking of the Israeli military, in which everyone serves. That you have a culture there of people take the initiative, and you have to contend with crises and dangers on the spot, off the cuff. You don't know what's coming, but yes, definitely Israel is a leading technological center.
That's part of making that desert bloom, and it's been a very impressive accomplishment because, as you say, so many of the people in Israel came from some other place, and they oftentimes came with a shirt on their back, and that was just about it. Talking with Andrew Harrod, the Center for Security Policy.org, and we're going to be right back and talk some more about what's going on in Israel and, I think, some interesting lessons.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Would it be okay if you had two paychecks instead of one? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you how to get an extra paycheck every month, creating an extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
People search the internet for everything, including you. With a few clicks, information from your past can be quickly discovered. From business deals gone wrong, to misleading reviews, negative articles, and unflattering images. Studies show 78% of people search for someone online before doing business with them. Will they find the real you? With ReputationDefender.com, you can establish a positive internet presence. ReputationDefender.com pioneered the field with over a decade of experience, serving thousands of successful individuals and businesses. We use patented, award-winning systems to boost positive content and suppress negative material. Don't let the internet define you. Take control of your reputation today with ReputationDefender.com. For your quick, free reputation analysis, call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771, 800-831-0771, or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun, you'll forget you have a wife and kids. $39.95 and free economy shipping. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at BugAssault.com. Makes the perfect stocking stuffer. Get your Bug Assault today.
Welcome back to the Gun Owners News Hour, exploring a wide range of Second Amendment issues. Here's your host, Larry Pratt.
My guest, Andrew Harrod, has just recently gotten back from Israel. He was there at a conference, and I'm sure it wasn't the first trip or probably even the second. So some of his information about Israel is firsthand, and it's a lot more current than mine, which was going on 20 years ago. I guess the thing that I wanted to make sure we discuss a little bit more is what you have mentioned, Andrew, that there's a kind of a popular response, maybe even it's almost spontaneous, but that's what I want to double down on. If there's trouble that strikes, if there's a terrorist attack, or some bank robber probably would be treated the same way. Not that I think there are that many of them. You'd have to be pretty stupid to think you could get away with that in Israel. You get about 50 feet out in front of the bank before it's all over. The fact that you have a kind of a community mentality where the people, as you put it, people respond when there's a terrorist attack, that seems to me to be very important. How did they get that kind of outlook, and how, if at all possible, could we try to foster some of that here?
Well, of course, it deals a lot with a society that is contending with conflict on a sort of constant basis, got constant dangers, and you have the universal military service. I mean, everyone's trained in weapons and has military background, and then you have as this one individual is mentioning in his neighborhood in the Gush Etzion area, that you have community response groups, people form community sort of watch groups. I think to try to transport that here, you have ideas of neighborhood watches, of course. You could have as a Leibowitz in this article at Tablet Magazine looking at gun laws in Israel also noted, too, that, I mean, groups like the NRA could emphasize as more, as they've done in the past, issues of gun training and responsible gun use. That was one of his recommendations, that in Israel you just simply, through the military and through people going to gun ranges and so forth, you just have really a lot of inculcated in people a lot of knowledge about responsible gun use. So if you're going to have people having gun ownership in this country, it's important to inculcate that message, I think. And I mean, I guess it would be more of just an emphasis on forming sort of neighborhood watch communities in America, and then combined with, say, really trained gun ownership that allows people to form sort of a kind of initial first line of defense if they're under attack until once authorities come.
It would sure be helpful if we could find ways to do that and to return to a time which is now somewhat in our distant past, but there was a time when Americans kind of had this same attitude of the community response. The term hue and cry was important in colonial America and for some time after, so that if you or I are being attacked and we're able to alert the community with a hue and cry, by law, they had to respond. They had to come alongside. Be nice if the sheriff came along as well. But nevertheless, there was a posse always ready to be formed because of that hue and cry. And people weren't looking forward to it, but they knew what they had to do when that happened. And I don't know enough about that history to know if we had laws that came down on people that didn't respond, but I kind of think maybe that was the case. We had a compulsory military, a militia, for some time into the 19th century.
Well, one famous example, of course, is the 1876 Jesse James gang raid here, where I used to grow up in Northfield, Minnesota. I grew up in Minneapolis, and of course, in that instance, that was the downfall of the Jesse James gang, because the townspeople, a lot of them who were Civil War veterans from Minnesota, you know, they really responded right away once someone alerted, gave the alarm from the bank that this bank was being robbed, and you just had sort of townspeople, everyone got their gun and just sort of stood out, from all the buildings around the bank. They just took up covering positions there. When the Jesse James gang came out trying to escape and shooting, they just sort of shot back. And so you had a lot of wounding of the Jesse James gang's members, and it really hurt them. And then the police, the sheriff was able to form a posse and go after them. So that's one famous example. Of course, you know, you think of the Minutemen in colonial America, which were indeed a trained militia and fought a lot in the French and Indian Wars, actually a very well-trained militia, and hence they gave the British a lot of grief during the whole Lexington Concord fighting when they sent out a raiding party to seize munitions. I mean, they really found themselves out in the hinterland away from Boston, and they had a hard time getting back to Boston because they were surrounded by so many militiamen on the move coming out and striking at them. So there are, of course, a history of that in America's past.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because that was definitely what was going on in colonial America. And I guess as we got prosperous and we were at peace, people just didn't see the need for it. And unhappily, need sometimes waits until an inopportune moment for us, when it reminds us that we might still have a need. And so we've got a lot of Americans that own guns, but there's, to my knowledge, there are almost none of us that have any of that old community experience working together in a militia. And that's something that hopefully your experience in Israel can inform us back here, that it's possible to have this kind of a system operate very well in a modern technological society, and it doesn't seem to interfere at all. In fact, au contraire, it's actually very complementary to the modern society that Israel has.
Well, of course, you know, the unique factor of Israel is just the universal conscription and just the basic civic experiences of the military. That's obviously, I mean, to sort of replicate that, you would need more in particular neighborhoods that would want it, or in general around the country, more development of really neighborhood watch groups, and thinking of firearm use, more training by, say, groups like the NRA that would really emphasize responsible gun use and train people on the law in various states. And
you make a good point about the NRA, because they were founded by Union officers in about 1870, so right on the heels of the end of the Civil War. And the main concern that they were addressing was, we had a lot of guys in our Civil War that were recruited from the North that hardly knew which end of a gun was which, and these officers wanted to address that problem and get the men of America trained so that they could function at least minimally in a military environment. And that was the deal then. I just don't, the Swiss have somehow managed to maintain something like that, even unto the present time. You've got a very modern society in Switzerland, and yet they still at least have a 2-week commitment every year until they're about 44 or so in the Swiss military. And I haven't noticed that Switzerland is hurting economically because of their commitment to this militia system.
Well, that's a question of a different military system. I mean, even in Israel, I mean, around the world, there's a trend towards professional militaries. They note that one statistic I know, that even in Israel, only about 50% of those people who are inducted in conscription actually do any sort of frontline combat service, or the others, they do their military training, but they end up maybe doing things like community support or something. Like, I met people in Israel during military service who were doing things like, they were manning like educational centers or something for the military and so forth. So, I mean, even Israel's been looking at the American professional experience with the military and seeing what they can learn from that, because modern militaries are really, it can't be part-time. It really has to be something highly trained, really professional. So it's hard to replicate that kind of experience. I mean, Switzerland still has, maybe you can say, a somewhat archaic commitment to this idea of national defense. I mean, there's no real conventional threat out there anymore than there's a threat to Luxembourg or to Iceland or to Ireland or something like that.
Well,
so it's certainly effective for, say, like any sort of mass.
Andrew, the clock is clobbering us. Andrew Harrod, Center for Security Policy. Thank you so much for your observations from your trip recently to the country of Israel.
All right, excellent to be here again.
Message and data rates may apply.
Guys, got hair loss? I know what you're thinking. Should I shave my head? Comb it over? Wear a hat? Just stop. This isn't 1970. Keep your hair and your confidence, because Bosley, America's number one hair restoration expert, can give you your real hair back permanently. Check them out today, because they're giving away an absolutely free information kit and a free gift card to everyone who texts EASY66 to 85850. Dude, you don't have to look like your dad, because this isn't your dad's hair loss treatment. People all over the country trust Bosley because they're ahead of the curve. They use the latest technology to give you your real hair back. And the best part? Bosley's permanent solution is protected by the Bosley Guarantee. Let them show you for free how awesome your hair could look with an absolutely free information kit and a gift card for $250 off. Text EASY66 to 85850. Ask about the Bosley Guarantee. EASY66 to 85850.
Most people think life insurance pays after you're dead. That's true. But did you know you can have tax-free access to your life insurance while you're still alive? You can use the life benefits of your life insurance to grow your money with certainty and guarantees. No stock market risk, no tax risk, and no penalties. Call Life Benefits if you'd like a free book about how this can be done. Call 702-660-7000. That's 702-660-7000.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.